It's Kiva. It's 8 o'clock on Monday night. Do you know where your Twitter mom's at?
Oh, it's Kiva on Indie Views. It's Kiva, artist interview. Right now on Butterflies
Radio,
where it's all indie all the
Welcome to this week's Butterflies Radio Indie Views Artist Spotlight with singer-songwriter-producer Jamie Olimarad from Boston, Massachusetts. Jamie has sung the national anthem at historic Fenway Park and sold out shows at premier Hollywood venues like the Troubadour, Whiskey A Go-Go, and the Roxy. Jamie was nominated for Best Pop Artist and Best Rock Artist at the 2013 Artist in Music Awards. Now for my interview with Jamie Olimarad. Now, I was watching a show on TV yesterday, and it made me think of you.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, it was Shea Stadium, and they were talking about the end of Shea, and it was overlapping the last days, you know, the last ball game and the last show with Billy Joel.
Yep.
And it was a really great documentary and watching it, but I totally thought about you and baseball and, you know, how I compared you to Billy Joel. And my love for, you know, I had a friend who grew up, his name was Shea. He was named after Shea Stadium.
Oh, cool.
And that's actually what I named my dog, was Shea, after him. So I thought, this is pretty cool, you know, day before my interview and, you know, watching a thing about Shea Stadium, even though I know that's not your team.
Oh, but I went to Shea a lot, and I go to a lot of Mets games. I have a couple of friends. I mean, you know, I'm really in Yankees territory where I live, but I have a lot of friends that are Mets fans, and we try and catch, you know, a handful of games a year. Sometimes we go to like 6 or 7 games because the tickets for the Mets are a lot cheaper. So, and it's, to me, it's easier to get to. It's a little bit further than Yankee Stadium, but it is easier to get to, and the parking's better, and, you know, and I'm saying that from an unbiased opinion, you know, not including my hatred towards the Yankees. It's just it's an easier experience that way. And then it's, of course, a different crowd, and, but it's the new ballpark is a very beautiful place. I like it a lot. And the All-Star Game's there this year, so I'm excited for that. And I remember those last days at Shea. There was another heartbreaker for the Mets, unfortunately. And
yes.
Billy Joel had those two shows, and he had special guests each night. And the last night, I know he brought out Paul McCartney, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have been there for that.
Yeah.
I did see on the documentary John Mayer. I saw him playing guitar, but yeah, I don't care about
him. Yeah, I never got him. I never understood what the big deal about him was, and then he went into seclusion a couple of years ago and had that, you know, had his throat surgery and everything, and you know, that kind of was the end of him.
Well, I think, you know, the way he treated women,
yeah.
He kind of ended up having to go into seclusion, you know?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Now, for my choice of the evening is Jamie's song, Beautiful. It really is one of my favorite songs out there, period. Anytime I play it, I am just singing along, and I will do my best tonight to remember to turn my mic off, so I'm not singing on the air, but I hope you guys love it just as much as I do. Here he is singing Beautiful, Jamie Olimarad.
When I look at you, it's plain to see. You have the grace of an angel and the beauty of a dove. But now there's a girl staring back at me. She just can't see what I see. And she always thinks that she's not good enough. Don't you know that you're beautiful? Don't you know I need you in my life? That I love you, and I will for all time.
Now, tell everybody about the big news that you had yesterday that you shared on Facebook.
Oh,
for people who may not have seen
yeah.
it, and if they didn't, they're in a hole.
Yeah, I've had a lot of great success on the Indie 104 charts, and it used to just be a top 40, but they've also expanded to a hot 100, if you will. They just call it the top mm-hmm. 100. And I've had 5 singles top of the charts there. And yesterday, for the week starting March 4th, it was revealed to me that I actually have 12 songs on the top 100, which is an insane percentage. You know, that's 12%.
Phenomenal.
And I was totally blown away by it. I had no idea. Someone informed me. You know, yesterday, and I checked it out, and I couldn't believe it. I was, you know, especially, I guess, surprised, humbled, thrilled that She Is still on there. She Is debuted on that chart in March of 2011, and I had heard that it was still there, But to actually still see it there, I was like, wow, that's pretty incredible. And, I mean, they're all over the place. The highest charting one right now is Dancing With You, and that's at 3. And she is at 88, and everything is somewhere within that range. But it's really incredible because I've only released, at this point, 4 songs as actual singles. And I have 16 songs that are recorded and released to the public. So to have 12 of them on there, like that's really incredible. And to have people requesting it and demanding it, streaming it, buying it, it was such a good feeling yesterday. And, you know, 2013 has been such a great year so far. And it was just another huge wave for me seeing that news yesterday. And I was so pumped to put that up on Facebook and all the other social media. And the response that people have been giving to that news has just made me feel so happy. And it's great to hear that, you know, even with the older songs, people are still digging it, and the newer stuff, you know, it's striking a chord with them as well.
I think you get a great song, and, you know, you just don't want to let it go.
Yeah.
And you have great fans. You have phenomenal fans. I just, they really, they're probably some of the most devoted fans that I've seen of indie artists,
yeah,
on our station.
It's so great to see that. And it's something that when you're a kid and you're starting out, you dream of having a following. You dream of being on the big stage and, you know, selling a lot of records. And then you start to go into the field and you realize, oh, it's not that easy. And you're playing for nobody, or the bartender and the waiters and waitresses at a club or at a dive bar. And slowly you just keep going and it starts to build up. But when it gets to that next level and there are people that actually really, really, really care about the music and you as an artist, and you've never met them, but you look out into the crowd and they're actually singing the lyrics, or after the show they already have the album, or they show it to you on their phone or their iPod. Like, that was so cool to me the first time that ever happened. It still is cool to me when people do it, obviously. And you look at yourself on there and they're showing it to you, like, oh, that's my name, that's my picture. You have that?
And you,
yeah. It's this really weird experience, because in your dreams and in your mind, you know, you're already that superstar that you want to be so badly. And then you go back to reality. It's like, oh, you know, we're actually moving in that direction. And it's so cool. And I can't thank everybody enough for being so active on social media and on the various music profiles that I have. And I just relaunched my website after a really long absence of having an official website. And the reaction has just been great, and there's been a lot of steam for 2013 so far, and you know, just got to keep going at it. And you know, for everyone that's been so vocal to all the radio stations and various media outlets, thank you, because that's led to a lot of great opportunities. I couldn't have done it without you.
Now, another one of Jamie's great songs, like, they're not all great, because they are, Dancing With You.
Another day, another dollar, another feather in my cap. Been going through the motions, wandering all over the map. Dreaming of the day I can be with you again. The world is going crazy, I try to get away. But the more I try to fight it, the longer it will stay. The only thing that'll get me through this crazy thing is you. Don't ever have to worry,
cross you'll have to bear. Just take my hand and take the floor. Take the fall with me. Let the music take you over. Let the rhythm take control. Let the feeling take you where you wanna go. Let the music take you over. Let the rhythm take control. Let the feeling take you where you wanna go. When I'm dancing with you, we're letting it go. We're letting it lift us off the ground. All around, we're letting it go. We're letting it lift us off the ground. Yeah, we're letting it go. We're feeling the music all around. Let the music take you over. Let the rhythm take control. Let the feeling take you where you wanna go.
Well, I know, you know, when I aired my red carpet interviews from the Artists and Music Awards, you know, one week I had technical difficulties where I didn't get to air it, so it put it off for another week. But your fans were, one, so disappointed in the week that it didn't air, but then they were there the next week, and they were all over it and so excited about, you know, it was an hour and a half show, but they stuck with it, and they were there for your three-minute interview, and we're so happy to hear from you. And I thought how cool that was, you know, to just have such great fans.
Yeah, they're awesome. And, you know, they're kind of like the unofficial street team. And they've just done so much. And they're all over the country. And some of them are abroad. And it's just so cool. I mean, you know, I don't know how else to explain it. But to see people fighting for you and supporting you. And, I mean, they're just so passionate about everything. And I know with the Artist and Music Awards, they were very disappointed that I didn't come away with hardware. But, you know, for me, it wasn't about that. I was so happy to be there and to see everybody that, you know, I've been talking with and have known for upwards to 2 years. We never actually met face to face, and to see the talent. And it wasn't all about the trophy for me. It was about the experience and the friendships and the bonds, and it was so much fun. And of course, to see that everyone else was disappointed for me, again, that means a lot. And you know, I know they've had their voices be heard on various places to show their displeasure, and again, I appreciate that, of course. And, you know, hopefully next time it'll be a little bit differently, but I felt great about the whole experience. And, you know, it's just been a really cool, really cool thing.
Well, I think the Artists and Music Awards, and I hope more people can go next year and, you know, more fans can go, because it was really cool for me getting to meet people, again, like you said, that you just talked to, you know, that you've talked to for, you know, years, and you haven't got to meet them in person. But feeling the sense of camaraderie between the artists there, nobody really felt animosity towards somebody else for winning their category.
No.
If they didn't win, there's just absolute total support for their fellow artists.
Yeah.
And it really is everybody being happy for the other one, you know, for getting it.
Yeah.
And I really like that. I like seeing that. Just everybody wants everyone to do well.
Of course, we're all in the same boat. In some respects, we're kind of like a big indie team, you know, and we're all just different players in this big game. And the thing that I kept making myself think, and it made me so relaxed for that night, was when you go to an award show, it's not like playing in a big game for any sport. You know, that's the night of the competition. For the award show, the way that they did the judging process with their panel and then with the fans, all we could do is control the fan vote. So if you did a lot of promotion and encouraged people to vote and you felt good about what you did, then you just go in there with your head held high and say, I did all that I could, I'm proud of my music, and whatever happens, happens. And that's exactly how I felt going in there. And, you know, that's the way I felt walking out, even without a trophy.
Well, I was so happy to get to meet you.
Oh, I was thrilled to meet you, and I was so happy you were the first person that I got to see on the red carpet.
Oh, well, thank you for
that. That was a great way to start the evening.
And I hate that you didn't get to go with us to San Diego.
I hated it, too. I was hoping that with the way where you guys were and where I was in L.A. and how we could meet up was going to be a lot simpler. But it wasn't that simple, and it just created...
Because you were working. You were not just, you know, you were not just there for the awards thing. You had meetings, and
you were recording. Yeah, there was a lot going on that I had to do in a short week. There was music video work, and then I had another meeting on the Saturday. I actually had to go to UCLA for a production meeting because there's something going on there for a few...
Before our lunch at Saddle Ranch?
Yeah, and they...
You were how late? I was
like an hour and a half late because of that. I was there for, they said it was only going to take like 2 hours. I said, okay, so I'll be done at 12, and I'm in Westwood. I'm pretty close, so, you know, I'll be there in 15 minutes. Well, I, you know, was there for 3.5 hours almost, and it just kept going more and more and more, and they wanted me to meet this person, and then we got to show you this thing, and, you know, if it wasn't something that was so crucial, I would have been like, all right, I'm going to do it later, you know, because I have to go do this thing. But I ran out of time because the next day I was going to Las Vegas for some stuff. And like, oh, I got to get this in. And it was just a total time crunch. And like, oh, man, you know, there was so much to do in that week. It was crazy.
But we still got lunch with you.
Yeah, and it's still fun.
Were you there for me riding the bull? Did you get to see that?
I missed the bull, but I've seen pictures of it, and that was awesome.
I have the video on my page, too.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, yeah, my friends and I were talking about that yesterday, I believe, at Starbucks. They were laughing. One of them's watched it probably 50 times because they're like, you were so drunk on that bull. I said, well...
Did you lunch?
I felt like I did, and my other friend said she thought that I stayed on there, you know, quite some time. And I know at one point I just kind of decided, okay, it's time to fall off because, and, you know, I found out when I got back my shoulder had been hurting. I didn't know why. And I didn't use the left arm because of that. So I was trying to just hold on with my right hand.
Mm.
And I thought at one point, nah, it's getting a little rougher. I'll have to use both, and I can't, so I'll just roll off. And then I found out when I got back that I have a torn rotator cuff. So, yeah, so I'm glad I didn't use that arm.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I can say I did it. And, yes, there's pictures. And yeah, my friend said that the pictures look like that thing was going 100 miles an hour, you know, the way I'm riding it. She's like, did you see the video? And it's, you know, kind of a stroll, and then you just roll off. And I said, well, I was told, you know, tuck and roll so you don't break your collarbone.
Yep.
Or, but it was a great lunch. Again, you know, like 30 people there.
So many people. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was just great for everybody to get together and to get together so much. But I would have liked for you to have gone to San Diego and had the sing-along in the van.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to that. And it's too bad it was also a rainy day. I mean, that's...
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah, rainy day on the Queen Mary, and then rainy day in San Diego, and hail. I think that was the most shocking thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're listening to Josh D'Amigo, and we hear something, and we go outside, and it was hail. And I thought, no, that's back at home.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen
here.
San Diego lied. It's supposed to be really nice here, you know, and it lied about the weather.
Yeah.
It draws you in, and it wasn't great.
Mm-mm.
Next up is Jamie singing That's What She Said.
Hey! let me inside and you wanted me to stay. Yeah, tell me go slow, you don't wanna feel the pain. Every go round, you're driving me insane. There's a void inside of your soul. I want so bad to fill that hole.
That's what she said.
Give me your hand. You wanna make me into a better man. Show me where to go and what to do. All I wanna do is spend my time with you.
So, tell us about the videos. You know, what's going on with those?
There are a couple of videos that are in the works. We started a video for a song called Crawling Back to Me, which will be out as a single come late spring, early summer. We're in the process of finalizing the dates for the beautiful music video shoot, which will, I believe, be in a couple of weeks at the end of the month, if not then in the beginning of April. And after those two are done, we're going to go backwards, actually, a little bit, because That's What She Said has been out as a single for a while. Mm-hmm. And we had a planned video shoot for last August, but we ran into some problems with the crew, and you know, there were some things going on that people had to be pulled out for. So we're gonna get back into doing that one, and probably one for Dancing With You. So we're hoping to get four in there, maybe even more, and we're trying to line something up for a concert video, possibly for the summer. And there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes in the work that will be viewable on YouTube and online, and a lot more video work, because that's something that I definitely feel I don't have enough of. So that's one of our main priorities at the moment.
And I know, you know, we play videos now. We have that on Facebook. You know, Mark's been promoting that.
Mm-hmm.
So Beautiful's my favorite song.
Oh, so you.
I'm excited to see a video for that.
Yeah.
And I like seeing... Having grown up, I'm older, as you know now that you met me, but I grew up when it was Friday night video,
yeah,
and before MTV came out, and I remember how big that was, you know, back when you actually got videos.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love how things have changed, just the progress that music has made, and with all the indie artists, and how they have control over so much, and of what's going on out there, but now that they can...
bring videos out there for people to see. You know, it's not just the songs. They get to hear the videos. They get to have that whole experience. Yeah. And it's just like doing it all over again.
Yeah.
Just like a rebirth.
Music videos died for a period, beginning of the 21st century. But once YouTube came out, it started to come back. And now you look at certain big artists and the hundreds of millions, and in one case, billion views that they have. It's incredible that, you know, people care about music videos again, because for such a long time, when TRL died, that was pretty much, okay, stick a fork in the music video, because why would anyone care anymore? But the internet has really changed everything, and it's cool that it brings back certain elements from a more classic period. And you know, it'll be interesting to see what new developments come, because I'm sure since we started our conversation, there have been several already. And then,
oh, I'm sure.
There, you know, it's crazy.
But I do like that, you know, that now, I think the videos, what I like about that is that, you know, musicians, they're incredibly talented people anyway. And being a writer, I think I spend time with a lot of artists. I have friends who are painters and friends who are musicians. And you're really not singly faceted. You have different dimensions as an artist.
Right.
And to have videos come out, I really like that, because it gets to show that creative side of you too. Mm-hmm. And I think instead of like it used to be when it was major record labels, you know, overseeing everything, they decided how things were going to be shot and filmed. You know, now it really is in control of the artist, and it expresses who they are, what they are, and people kind of get that insight into the songs. So I think it's great that you're doing the videos and that people get to see that.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it. We have a couple of really cool concepts for these songs, and I don't want to give too many spoilers yet, but you know, Crawling Back to Me is more of a tongue-in-cheek song, and the video is very much in that vein, and we've had a blast working on it. And with Beautiful, it'll definitely be a lot more dramatic, as it is a pretty dramatic song. And I'm very excited to see what the finished products will be, and to get them out there for people to view.
I can't believe I would be drawn to a dramatic song.
Yeah.
Me, drama, no, never.
Now here's Jamie singing Crawling Back to Me.
My ex-girlfriend, she's such a mess. She broke my window 'cause I didn't see her text. Then she went too far. When she keyed "I love you" across my car. You say it's destiny, that's just crazy. I won't go back. I want you like I want a thousand heart attacks. I cut you out and trim the fat. I won't go back. I bet it stays just like the rug burn on your hands and knees. 'Cause you keep crawling back to me. Smash my TV and still can't see why I don't date girls that damage my property. Camped on the front lawn, she likes to shout. Is this the best way you can find to work things out? Stop faking pregnancies to get with me. I won't go back. I want you like I want a thousand heart attacks. I cut you out and trim the fat. I won't go back. I bet it stays just like the rug burn on your hands and knees. 'Cause you keep crawling back to me. You're the one to blame.
It's not working, best start searching, 'cause I'll never be your knight in shining armor.
So, you know, you mentioned your fans that are overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any plans to maybe get over there to tour any?
I would love to. I actually have a pretty big following in the Netherlands, and mm-hmm. There's been a lot of demand to get over there. It's just a matter of the timing and really having a good plan, because that's a trip. To go all the way over there. So I would want to make sure we get a good team going and we get some good venues and good promoters and really draw this up the right way. Because I would also want to go to other countries out there. And songs have been doing well in the UK and in Germany and in Spain. And it's been really cool. I actually was just notified the other day that seven of my songs were picked up for a big retail store campaign in Europe from a Dutch company.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, they said it's actually going to be played in throughout Europe in I think they said some absurd number, like 80 million stores.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's so awesome. And I did get some notice that it was starting in Sweden. And it's going to, throughout the months, you know, continue to grow. It'll stay there. It's not like it's just going from country to country. It'll be a blob effect. And eventually, almost every single country in Europe will have this program where I have seven songs on there. So I'm super thrilled about that. And there's been a lot of good press in Europe, and I'm really hoping to get something going out there. So for everyone that's overseas in Europe, we're trying. We're really, really trying. We just want to make sure that we do it right for you. So just be patient.
And wouldn't it be great if, you know, if the place that's playing the music, if they would just kind of fly you over?
It'd be so cool. I mean, I know there's a lot of stuff going on with this campaign in malls. I would do a mall tour. I think that's really fun. There are a lot of places that have entertainment setups in their malls, and you can get a really great crowd, and you know, people that don't know you will come and see you and they'll leave knowing you, and you can make a great impression that way. And I would love to do more, you know, old school style stuff where you do that performance and go into the record store, because I know they're still out over there, and you do a signing or some sort of appearance. And we've been trying to get stuff going like that here with a couple of places, and they're actually in the works, and we're hoping to get some stuff going, especially in Boston and in LA, because they have particularly some famous record stores that are still operational and successful.
Yeah, I miss record stores. And one of the musicians that I was telling you about earlier, one of the ones that I follow and go to their concerts when they come around,
mm-hmm.
They had a listening party for the release of their album, you know, and did that kind of across the country for people to sign up to do the listening parties. But, you know, they had to find record stores, and that's not the easiest thing in the world to do, to find them.
Unfortunately, you know, I really only know a lot of places in the big, big cities that have them, and I would think in smaller towns there are still some places, but it's really unfortunate, and I feel that people that don't appreciate having a physical copy of their music are missing out on a really cool experience. There's nothing special to me, no offense to any of the various digital retailers, there's nothing special to me about just opening it and downloading it. I don't know if that's because I have a lot of pride in just the music experience, but there's something really cool about walking into a big music store and finding the album and actually holding it and being able to read the liner notes. And people put a lot of work into this. I don't think that's realized from a lot of people, just how much work it takes to make an album sound good, from the creative process in writing it to arranging it to tracking it and then mixing and mastering it. It's a really long process, and it really tests you, and it will test your relationships with the people that you're working with, and it can make or break some of them. And, you know, if you're the writer as well, you're really wearing your heart on your sleeve with this material. So it takes a lot, both in a mental state and an emotional state, to really put it out there. And I think that if you are a consumer and can try and get in that headspace, you'd appreciate going to the record store. And you know, even if, I mean, today it's just Target and Walmart and places like that. But even there, you can still have fun going through the different CDs. And it's a story. It's like a book. It's like a movie, just in a different sense. You're having someone's story sung to you.
Again, I'm dating myself, but one of my favorite movies is Pretty in Pink.
Mm.
And, you know, they're in the record store. You know, it's one of the locations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there, and I love that, you know, he's looking through the records, you know, and looking over the records at her, and, you know, just having the songs playing there in the record store. And, you know, I remember, for me, my first real love musically, my first concert was Rick Springfield. My first big band that I loved was, yes.
Oh, Rick's the man. I love that guy.
Yes, Rick Springfield. And, Duran Duran was my first, you know, totally getting into it. But they were so big, I never got to go to one of their shows. But their albums were like you were talking about, where you open it, you've got posters,
yeah.
you've got the artwork, everything goes with it. It really was a treat to get the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the first record that I listened to on my own, now my parents had a record player, and they had Elvis records,
sure.
And, you know, Frank Sinatra, and some of that I liked, but I'm not an Elvis fan. In my house, there were two distinct camps.
Mm-hmm.
You were either for Elvis or you were for the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a Beatles
nice.
Fan. And I remember I still have my 45 of Yesterday. And just hearing the crackle of that record on the record player and the needle on that vinyl, it's something you just don't get. I know it's so crisp and clear with digital, but I miss that.
Yeah.
And being a writer, again, the Kindle versus the real book.
Yeah.
I know Kindle's more portable and it's easier to take it everywhere with you, but I really do like my real books and to touch them and to hold them.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of the same thing, just, you know, having it be more tangible.
Yeah, I agree with you completely.
Yeah, so I'd like to, maybe you should do that, do a video where you're in a record store.
I would do something like that. We'd just have to iron out the details with, you know, the store. But that would be really fun. We can come up with some sort of concept like that. I like that they have, you know, Record Store Day, and that a lot of the larger acts or the middle-sized acts are doing more collector editions with the vinyl copy, the
mm-hmm.
CD, the digital copy. They've expanded into these collector's editions that, if you're a big fan, I think it's completely worth it to go for that, because you get every type of experience. You get a digital experience, a pure digital experience. You get an analog experience, depending on what they do with the vinyl. You know, you get to hold the big record and the cover, and like, wow, it's so cool. I mean, even if you're not a big music fan, I think there are a lot of things that just holding an LP can do, because you look at the artwork.
Yeah.
You look at all the writing on it on the inside. Man, look how many people it took to do all this and what their roles were. And it's, you know, it's a big project. Even if it is a smaller team, they're doing a lot. and it's a really rewarding experience. So if anyone's listening and they've completely written off CDs and vinyl, vinyl's actually making a pretty big return. Its sales have been consistently on the rise, I think, for 5 or 6 years. It's worth it to check it out. If you've never heard what an album sounds like on a record player and an analog record player, you should just check it out to see it. There is a pretty big difference. And then, of course, everything that they claim about the crisp sound and digital being the best clarity that you can have, I mean, scientifically, it's all correct. But there are other things that sometimes make you feel a little bit more connected to that analog sound.
Next up is Jamie singing Weapon, which was nominated as Best Rock Song at the 2012 Hollywood Music and Media Awards.
There's a fire burning bright. You say you're lonely and I'm the only one that's in your sight. It's late at night. When I hold you it feels right. But I've got to wonder, am I your only lover, only just in And I caught you sneaking out. You tell me, baby, think you're going crazy. Let me make you feel alright. Hypnotized into giving second tries. I never saw it coming, and now I'm running. Caught me by surprise. Yeah.
And so you are a student of the music and everything. You appreciate it all. You love it all because you know these things. Mm-hmm. You know the details about things. You study it. And that's more than just listening to a song.
Sure.
You kind of get the whole experience and you know it all.
Yeah. Music is really cool because it's an art and a science. And as I got older, I started learning the scientific part of it, and you start studying. I actually started really paying close attention to it when I took physics in high school. Once we got into sound waves and how that interacts with each other, I just got really captivated on, whoa, wait a minute, I can do that? What if I did that with the voice? What if I did that with the keyboard? What if I did that with the guitar? It just opened up this endless realm of possibilities, and it changed what I wanted to study when I went to college. And I took music technology as my major and graduated with that. And there was a lot of avant-garde stuff that I studied in that field that I didn't really get. I didn't really appreciate it. It wasn't my thing. But there were techniques from there that I've learned, and they're implemented on my albums and in my music. And it's really, really cool that you can express yourself in a very creative way, and then go over to the science part of it where you have to look at compressors and filters and what you can do to the actual wave of the sound, and you can be artistic there too. It's really a fascinating field.
So everything can be totally organic and different, and, you know, not like any person's going to sing the same as the other, but then you get that extra ability, you know, to do the things with those tools.
Yeah.
You really can make it so unique.
Yeah, I mean, the human voice itself is a really interesting tool. When you start to hear the way that a lot of other people around the world use their voice, and especially when you hear a recording of it, because you're not looking at anything, you're just listening, and then someone tells you, yeah, that's a guy, that's a girl singing. What? That's a voice? That doesn't sound like a voice at all. And I studied stuff with some of the Indonesian tribes and throat singing, and oh my gosh, there are people that's just what they know. You know, for us, we don't do things that way, so it's this novelty thing. But for them, it's normal that they can do all these crazy and unique things with their voice. Like, wow. But then for stuff that we do, like, well, how do you do that? And it's really, really, really interesting. And you know, I've gotten to study with some great people that have taught me a lot and how to improve my voice and how to try different techniques. And I've learned the more time that I spent in the studio that the studio world and the concert world, the stage world, are two very different places. The gear has a different type of sensitivity. There's a different way that you have to approach the microphone, the distance from the microphone, how you use your voice. It's such a cool place. I mean, it's art and science put together, and I guess anybody could say that about a sport or something that they're passionate about, because you just take the general field and you just keep getting more and more specific and how you can create new things. And I'm like a kid in the candy store in both realms, stage and studio. And the more you do it, the more you learn. And I think that's, for me, the most rewarding part is I just want to keep learning more, and it's like a buffet of knowledge and experience, and I can't wait to get back on stage and get back in the studio.
Now, which is your favorite? Which do you prefer?
I knew you were going to ask that. That's tough. You know, it's going to depend on where I am. When I'm in the studio, I'm going to say my favorite spot is the studio. When I'm on stage, I'm going to say my favorite spot is on stage. But factors really go into it. When you're in the studio, if you don't have a good engineer, or if you're going to be working with a producer, if he doesn't know what he's doing or he's a crybaby about things, and you have a very definitive vision, you're going to feel that this is a nightmare and somebody wake me up. And I've been in that experience. And then I've been in the opposite experience where everything's hunky-dory and it just flows. And most of the time, it's somewhere in the middle, and you're going to have to fight for certain things, and you're going to have to push for certain things, but in the end, you make sure that you get a product that you're proud of. When you're on the stage, sometimes you're going to be in a venue that the house system is not very good, the sound man isn't very good, the monitors in front of you don't work, so you can't hear anything, and the crowd's just not into it. Well, at that point, it's like, just get me off the stage. Then you have the opposite nights where everything is perfect. The sound man is extremely professional. The gear is unbelievable. And there's a huge crowd that adores you. And again, most of the time it's somewhere in the middle. And there's a reward for both things. I guess because I'm a songwriter, I might gravitate more towards the studio at times. If I'm in a neutral position, it's like 52-48. Mm-hmm. Just because when you bring in a song, for me, I usually write the melody first, and it'll come from just singing something random or hearing something. I mean, I've heard a train go by, and that's started a beat in my head, and that turned into a melody. And when you go in the studio, you have this bare bones thing. I do most of my playing on a piano, so I play the piano and I sing for everybody in there and to the musicians. I say, okay, let's go and lay this down. So it's kind of like, I guess, a mad scientist watching their creation grow. And you're like, wow, I can't believe this little idea turned into this massive song. And that's personally a very rewarding experience. So, you know, maybe that's how the studio beats out the stage. But it's an addicting feeling when you do a good show and people say that they really loved it. You know, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Now, Jamie singing She Is.
See the girl looking so sweet, innocent and tenderly. I can't believe she looks at me. The way the wind blows her brown hair, the way she sings without a care. She's everything I'd like to be. But she doesn't even know how she's the star of the show.
She's the one for me. Who is all
pranks on the road are definitely the most fun thing, and I've had my fair share of fun pranks that I've pulled and have been victim of, and you know, I would say rule number one for being on the road, I'm nocturnal, so this hasn't happened to me yet, but don't be the first one to fall asleep.
Yeah.
You're in trouble if that's the case.
Oh yeah, I'm nocturnal too, so I'm lucky there. Yeah, I think. So, what's the worst prank that was ever played on you?
Oh, played on me?
On you?
I haven't had too many played on me that have been bad. You know, on the road with my own music, doing my own thing, I can't really think of anything that was so vicious of like, oh man, you guys really got me. It's more along the lines of, you know, somebody moved something that I was like, oh no, where is that? I need that. You're like, oh, it's over here. Oh, we got you. I mean, with that, hasn't been too crazy. In high school, I was in the marching band, and I was, for junior and senior, I was the drum major, so I was the guy leading the parade down all the streets, and we used to go to competitions. And I would say more in there, there's probably crazier stories about, we went to Disney from New York once in Orlando, and we took a bus, and you have to go to the bathroom eventually.
Yeah.
On the bus, they put all of their luggage, locking me in the bathroom for a while, like that. Or once I went, we stopped at a restaurant, and I went to the gift shop or something, and I walked outside, and the bus wasn't there. Like, what? They left?
Oh, yeah, that would freak me out.
And then, they moved the bus around the corner. They told me, oh, just go over there, freak them out. I'm like, oh. So that's probably one of the craziest things. You know, on the road myself, I've been the guy that if you fell asleep, I'll draw on your face, or done it where you're in a bus station or a train station and it's late at night or early in the morning and someone's asleep, and I'll get a bunch of newspapers and I'll put it like a blanket around them, and I'll write a sign on them, put it next to them saying like, guitar player homeless will strum for food or something like that. And people will come by and like, yeah, you know, he's down on his luck.
Oh my. Now see, you foresaw my stories from the road question there. So we got that one out of the way. And I have to ask you, the food question, but you've been around some more since then. So it might have changed since last time. So where would you recommend people go eat and why?
Well, my favorite restaurant is still Giacomo's in the north end of Boston. That place makes the best Italian food I've ever had. And my personal favorite dish there is the butternut squash ravioli. And it's this tiny, tiny place. There are two locations in Boston, and it's only there. But the one in the north end is the original, and that's the one that's really special to me. And it's very small. They don't take reservations. So if you're going to go there, either get there early, it opens at 5, or be prepared to stand outside for upwards to 2 hours. It's worth the wait, believe it or not, and I've done that before. But that food there is just unbelievable. My favorite fast food place, I mean, it's hands down, it's In-N-Out, no question.
Oh, I love In-N-Out.
I'm out west, either in California, Nevada, Arizona, you gotta do it. I go crazy there sometimes. It's just so good. It's so, so good. There's a place in Hollywood, too. What's it called? It's really fun. I suppose it's Magic Castle? I think it's Magic Castle. It's an interactive place.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And the way that you have to go about getting in there is crazy. You have to know somebody, and they have to give you a password, and that's how you get in.
Is this the one that's up behind, What's the hotel that all the celebrities are at? The Chateau Marmont? Is this up behind that?
It's the street running parallel to Hollywood Boulevard. It's north.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
It's really cool. It's really, really cool there.
Because they'll light it up at night. It's lit up, yeah.
Exactly. So I love it. I love it there. Oh, yes, if you are in Hollywood, if you're in Los Angeles, and you want breakfast, and I mean a big breakfast, go to the Griddle on Sunset Boulevard. Sunset and Fairfax, that's the intersection. Oh my gosh, what a place. It's a small place, but it has pancakes the likes that you've never seen before. These pancakes are gigantic, and they have every type of pancake imaginable. It's unbelievable.
I knew before I went to L.A. that all the work I had done to exercise and lose weight was I was going to have to give some of that up when I went there, because I was not going to miss the food experience.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a cheat week. And if you're a big food fan, you got to go to Las Vegas, because there's everything under the sun there, and all of it is pretty much exquisite. It's unbelievable. That town itself is just its own world. That strip, man. It's crazy. But definitely my favorite is Giacomo's in North End of Boston. And for breakfast, it's gotta be the Griddle in Hollywood.
Thank you, Jamie, for being such a great interview as always. Kind of my first show back post LA because I had some real life journalism things to do. But I'm happy to be back in the music realm. And everybody tune in next week for another great show with Katie Cole. Have a good night and see you guys next week.